time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, this is the second hour of the Ralph Winroad Show. I'm Ralph Kermit Winroad II, coming to you live out of Alaska. And we've got the final piece, I think, to understand. Got so much information, and I got to get it up on my home page. But the thing that I really want to do is say John Thornton and James McAlpine made it possible to get me an HP scanner that will scan these older books, and I'm going to make them available to everybody that's on the IRS list. You have to get on the IRS list. It's $250 postal money order, or if you can't afford it, but you have to email me. Tell me why, and then you'll be at it. I don't keep it away from anybody, but you got to ask. If you're not going to ask, you're not going to get it. That's just, if you don't have any interest in it, it's not going to give it to you, because you just, it's a waste of time. I don't have any interest in people. And if you're going to have me get involved in trying to assist you with your IRS issues, it requires, and I've got to update it with this latest stuff here. I got the Citizens of the United States out of 1938 stuff. I've got that done, but now I've got to add in this other, because this is just crucial. It's critical. We are signing up that I do not want the inalienable rights from the Creator and the Declaration of Independence to have a limited delegation of government. To have the public officers do some of my, broken into three branches of government, accountable to me. You and me. I don't want that no more. I want to step in to man's world, man's law, private law, to be a fictional citizen of the United States. Our status is so important. I thought that when I was presented with Esau in the Bible, when he sold his birthright for some porridge, lentil beans, and his property and lineage and all that was lost, that might relate to some of these preachers. It's like water off a duck's back. It doesn't register. These churches want citizens of the United States to come in so they can get around and donate $100 and go on private law and write it off, so in reality they gave nothing. Wow, isn't that special? And they sign up to be 501c3, or so that they can't talk about things from the pulpit like they used to at the beginning of our Revolutionary War. That's where you find the believers and the most of the people will fight Christians. What a novel idea. I saw something on Breitbart that's just shocking. It was a place down in, I think it's a Texas, one of those places, a Catholic school is taking out the different pictures of Christ and some of these different things because it's offensive to all the other religions. What in the holy hell is going on here? We're taking down the Confederate. That's history. Most of them were Democrats, probably. And who were the Democrats? They were the ones that wanted slavery. They were the ones that had the KKK was their military arm. Oh, we don't know about all that. They accuse us of all these things, Republicans, and there aren't many real Republicans. Surfer Firo down there was a great man trying to fight in the system, obeying the laws of the United States. And the Speaker of the House, Ryan, comes out against him, and that idiot, McAlpine down there, God, I got to pray for that man and that brain tumor. Terrible thing to say, but I hope that brain tumor gets it on. It's time to move out, move that guy on. He needs his rewards for all of his just deeds he's doing for being the songbird in Vietnam and for wet starting a jet and killing a whole bunch of people on an aircraft carrier and getting his daddy, being an admiral, saved his butt. Oh, we don't talk about that, though. We don't deal with facts. I can't believe that Sessions didn't want to support the pardon that Trump did. I don't know what's going on up in the White House. He looks like he's being surrounded more and more by Democrats than Republicans. But I don't know. I have to leave it up to him. He's a smart guy. I have to see what happens. I never thought I'd see anybody even like him. But there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to, so we'll just have to hang tough. Anyway, I want to go over some of this again. This is just monumental. Understanding that the states have no authority. Zero. They're all making everybody to be the same citizen of the United States. Private law. And the Congress is doing the same thing. It's either, they're either doing local law or they're doing private law too. How would we know this? Class legislation. Now it also makes sense then, because you see, you can do a quote crime under the local law of a jurisdiction, and then you can do it under the federal local law and get hammered twice. If you go back around the turn of the century, there's all kinds of cases. You could crime, it had to do with the venue. And you could only have a crime either a federal or state. You couldn't do two of them at the same time. That's double jeopardy. Not in this world. You can't make this stuff up. This briefly, back in the 1890s, they started the Court of Appeals, which is going to be a geographical court. In 1911, they took the judicial power of the appellate courts, called the circuit courts of the United States, and put the judicial power in the lower courts, called the district courts of the United States, still constitutional courts, 1911. And they abolished the circuit courts of appeal. So the only the constitutional courts in 1911 was the circuit courts of the United States. And the appellate courts, no. And then we get up in the 1920s and the writ of error and all these constitutional things that come out of the English common law after much time to get this stuff ironed out so we the people had a real means to have standing and get something done that's true. They abolished that. Then we get up in the 1940s and we got this tax court, which is a tax board of appeals, and then they want to change it because in 1948 we are going to do away, and I've got one thing to check on that. The district courts of the United States no longer exist. Now, whether they repealed that, I don't know. I've got to check that yet. But all of a sudden, we got a brand new thing showing up. United States District Court. It's called the compounding of nouns. when you use nouns as adjectives. What was wrong with the District Court of the United States, an Article III court? Because they put all these other courts, the territorial courts, the court in D.C., which is totally unique, it's a different type of court, and the courts within the several states under Article III, Clause 2, we put them all in one chapter, Chapter 5, and say, doo-doo, this is the way we've been doing it, called accepted practice. And that makes it right? Put it all in Chapter 5? Really? So we put doves and hawks and eagles and all in one chapter. Oh, they're all the same thing now. Really? I thought they were unique. Well, one of them eats the other one. What a scam. And then before they did that in 1948, they changed the name of the Tax Board of Appeals to a tax court. And I got the stuff on that. Why do they do that? Well, they say, see, if it's a court, then the regulations have no application. Wait a minute here now. We've got the Kirshner case out of District of Columbia, which is an amazing case. God, I tell you, I learned a lot. I couldn't believe that when I read that case. And I found it in somebody that was fighting it out in California, and he put it in a brief, an attorney. I don't know if he really, I never did follow through to see what he did with it. The tax court is an administrative court. There is no judicial to it. The Supreme Court said so. We tried judicial notice of regulations, judicial notice of the laws, and the court can't do it. It said, no, we're not doing it, because they can't. They know they can't. There's nothing there. It's not even a court. 610. Well, why in the hell do they cite tax court decisions in these 11 circuits and D.C.? There's no judicial determination. Oh, that's right. It's all private law. It's starting to make sense now. That's why they can cite it. That's all for citizens of the United States. It's our private law courts. Now we have, like Rappert is fighting up in Minnesota, and John's fighting, Curtis has fought it, Morgan has fought it in South Dakota. There's quite a few people who fought these different things, and you go to these circuit courts, and you're wasting your time. They won't look at it. Hartman up there, he's the one. They get around, and they said they say, we are taking policy, and it's our law. They printed it. Policy has no duty, no obligation, no anything, and they just ignore it. They cite terms and definitions out of a U.S. Fish and Wildlife report out of 1979 that those don't even exist. And then that report is based on a statute of the United States or, quote, a private local law of the United States, and it don't even exist there. And the court says, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. They don't talk about it. They go off point because they can't. Just, we're in a hell of a fix, folks. But we're getting down to the real, because I've seen some cases where they said, well, you know, the sovereign citizen of these things, it may be true, but you didn't give the court any evidence of what's going on. And there's truth in that. The sovereign citizen is an oxymoron statement. But you have to plead this class legislation with facts, with cases, holdings of courts. How would you find them? Well, you're not going to find them in, I did a little bit of word searching in Westlaw and tried to find these, but you have to know the terms and the words. So I found, like I say, one of the places is to go to Corpus Juris Secundum or to go to, you can go to law dictionaries. I've got all the blacks and all the Bouvier's from 1919 or 1819 all the way up. I got all these different. So I've got a lot of places you have to go to here and go there. But where do I find all of this where it's actually been sorted and put together by somebody else? So that then I can start reading the cases. I go into, like I did in Westlaw, and I find, like I said, ruling case law or Amgur 1. Well, okay, well, how many people got access to ruling case law or Amgur? Anybody listening got that in your house? 28 volumes of ruling case law back in 1919. I got it. And there are hundreds of cases that literally in this area explaining what the hell they're doing. But all they do in the later stuff is they give us a paragraph and then they reference us to something else that we don't have. The average person. We're going to fix that. I never knew the difference between gender law and public law. Never seen it explained. Which I'm going to go over again because it's so important. We got general law, public law, special and local law, and we got or special and private law. What are all these things? How do I recognize them? Everything we do today, without exception, at somewhere in buried in it or right out in the open, I am a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury. Why? Because the Star Chamber Trilemma worked really great back in England, and they've just transformed it into forms with terms, giving new words to something that I think I know when I'm an individual or a citizen of the United States, and I don't have a frickin' damn clue what the heck I'm talking about. I'm admitting I want to be a slave. How would I know? It's spread all over the place, all these definitions. How's anybody supposed to figure this out? Here's the quick overview. Number one, you must find out that you're a citizen of one of the several states and get it into the public record. Because under Evidence Rule 901, number 7, certified copies, if you say I'm a citizen of Minnesota, then by golly gee whiz, you are. That's the first thing. Find out who you are. Why you're doing this. If you want it, you can't keep your foot in both sides. Now, there's under the law of necessity. If anybody thinks they are going to get around and get this done, it's unbelievably. Okay? The elective franchise. One of the main cases is Corfield versus Corriero. 1823. Circuit Court of the United States, a real constitutional court. It said here, they're talking about, maybe mentioned in some particular in privileges and immunities of citizens which are clearly embraced in the general description of privileges, deemed to be fundamental to much it must be added, the elective franchise as regulated and established by the laws and constitution of the state in which it is exercised. That's just one of many. Reese is another one, says there is nothing. There's a case up here in, this is 1887. It's 11 Northeast 916. Judicial, it's out of Massachusetts. The right or privilege of voting is a right or privilege arising under the Constitution of each state and not under the Constitution of the United States. Really? Well, tell us that. The elective franchise. So if we are voting, another one, United States versus Anthony. This is 24F cases. They have called them federal cases, 829. This was not 1873. The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were designed mainly for the protection of the newly emancipated Negroes. But the full effect must nonetheless be given to the language implode. Now, first of all, you see they did this thing in 1827 or 1866. They have the citizen of the United States to have the same rights as a white citizen. They did it for the Negroes. Same rights as a white citizen? Does that mean that they're equal? No. They did the 14th, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. Those are prohibitions. Then Congress had an epiphany 2 years later in 1870. They said, oh, by the way, you know, all you black folk, y'all can be naturalized like anybody white folk. Y'all be the same now. You won't have the same rights as white citizens. You are all equal. Wonder why they couldn't do that in 1866. Took them 4 years to figure it out before they had an epiphany. Isn't that just special? That goes on to say here, the right of voting or the privilege of voting is a right or privilege arising under the Constitution of the state and not under the Constitution of the United States. Second, the right of a character herein involved is not one connected with citizenship of the United States. The right of a citizen is thereby violated, and they are of a fundamental class, derived from his position as a citizen of the state, and not those limited rights belonging to him as a citizen of the United States. And they're going back to Corfield versus Coryell, 1823. This case was 1873 after the 14th. They're lying to us, folks. But they only offer us one solution. Well, I get a driver's license. The average person does. How's the average person going to? You don't even know what the hell a citizen of the United States is. Sounds good, though, don't it? Why does everything have the penalties of perjury in there? Why do we need that? Let me get back to the Star Chamber. Oh, got to get me. I got to confess my sins. Confess my sins are good for you. Incriminate yourself. So I do. Yay, I'm a citizen of the United States, a private law. Trilemma. Second part is do it under the penalties of perjury. That's the second part. Third part is, oh, by the way, subordination and perjury, I got you to do all this because you're ignorant and illiterate and stupid. Yeah, been there, done that. I'm one of them. Then the third one is, oh, well, we'll get you for sanctions because y'all signed up for it. Take your property, go through tax court, not even a court, because you signed up for it. Go to these cases. They'll say, oh, the taxpayer, this. Well, wait a minute. That's your tacit approval. If you don't disagree with it, well, you automatically must be one then. And this is the con, the fraud. So the third part of the trilemma is, well, we're going to sanction you, put you in jail, take your property. What? Because of my signature on a damn piece of paper that's called an implied in law contract, because I want the benefit. That's why it's an implied in law. It's not an implied in fact contract where there's a benefit both ways. I want the benefit of the private law. Damn, that's a good thing to be in your Congress. Those guys are, oh man, are those guys honest and a bunch of really just amazing people up there in Congress, aren't they? Schumer and Boxer and, oh my God, it's just amazing what we got up there. They're looking out for me. Mm-hmm. This is the con that's going on. So now we know that the courts are about. There's only the Federal Circuit Court of Claims, or Court of Claims, and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. Those are the only two remedies we got any hope in at all. And the Supreme Court when we get through them. There are instances of using the United States District Court for things like under color of law, 42 U.S.C. 1983 lawsuits, because you can go after anybody that's depriving you of due process of law in certain instances that you may not be able to get into the Federal Court of Claims. But you go into the Federal Court of Claims and it's United States. Everybody signs up as counsel for United States, almost without exception. You go into the circuit courts, 1 through 11 in D.C., everybody's a counsel for United States of America. And United States of America is a sovereign body politic. Now, that is a hoot. Now, who it is, I presume Congress? Maybe it's the president. I don't know. Because you see, in the territory, United States of America is the president of the United States. It's one or the other. But I can guarantee it doesn't arise out of the Constitution of the United States, because the United States of America has no standing in existence under the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of any of the several states. Doesn't exist. We signed up for it. How are we supposed to know? I want to have a bank account. John's been testing that out. Well, how come a citizen of Minnesota can't go in and just get a bank account? How come they got to go do all this credit check and find out everything he's ever done? When he goes to the bathroom, how much toilet paper he used? I mean, it's literally that, almost that in depth. Can't make this stuff up. Unbelievable. Well, we're going to have some fun with this one. Now, I'm going to go back over some of this again because this is really monumental. Is anybody going to grasp it the first time out? I seriously doubt it. I'm I have to know it. I have to see it. And I'm going to be publishing this. I have to read it myself. I can hear things and they make sense, but I got to read it before it sticks. So what, again, is getting back to the overview. I get sidetracked here with myself. I don't have a script, by the way. This is all I do as I think about it. I have to get my status correct. I have to find out I'm a citizen of one of the several states. I have to get it into the public record. I have to know that I'm not like Esau. He did it one time. Well, we have to keep doing it all the time. Everything we do. I want to have it implied in law contract, which means I want the benefit of being in this private law status as an individual. I have to keep signing up for it. Now, we're not going to get around all this. This has been going on for decades. How I used to do some of this is I print in all caps, put a K, no initial. That's what they usually use, there's no initial for the K. That passes. It's not my signature, but it makes them happy. So I have plausible deniability. But there's a lot of things I'm taking on now, like I have a driver's license as a citizen of Alaska. I have my elected franchise as a citizen of Alaska. And I confronted them. I wanted them to deny me that. They wouldn't do it. Pissed me off. I don't know why they won't take me on. That's all right. Well, we're going to get it done anyway. So the thing is, that's the first thing. We have to find out who we are, get it in the public record. The next thing we have to understand is that if you think you are filling out a form and if you understand the terms that are embedded in that, you're really way off in la-la land. Nobody can understand all of the terms embedded in these forms. And it's a mean to get self-incrimination and us to sign up, called an implied in law contract. I want this benefit. A form 1040 is an implied in law contract. Courts say so. Doesn't bind the IRS. I want to be a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury, just like it's on the 1040. Why would it be there? And my signature, if it's not on that form, they put people in jail for that. You didn't file a return. Wait a minute here. How can you even file a return, which implies there must be something before the return? You couldn't ask for something to come back. Well, that goes to the good old W-4s. So why not modify them? That's what I've been doing. We can go and modify them. There's no law that says you can't modify these forms. Well, they're fraud. That's what we start doing. I'm back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Okay, well, we're back here, and first thing is you have to get your status. You have to know who you are. You're a citizen of one of the several states. That's the only way you get the inalienable rights from the Creator. That's the only way you get a Republican form of government. That's the only way you get, quote, public officers with actually an office. Yes, an office. I have the, that's one of the other things that's going to be made available. I put it out for the general that, for Skype, put it so he could download it, but the Common Laws of England of 1810, Tomlin, I think his name was. He redid them and made them applicable. So we can actually see the common laws of England. Now, but the first thing is, got to get your status. You have to understand who you are. If you don't do that, you're a win and a win. Second thing is, the problem that we have with today is in this world of special and local law or private law, there are definitions ad nauseum. Well, look at every chapter. They'll have a certain number of definitions, terms with means. Usually most of them all use means. Supreme Court said when an exclusive definition is intended, the word means is employed. That's pretty clear. Exclusive definition, dog means cat. Well, then you have to give me the definition. So when you say dog, you're actually talking about my putty cat. How am I going to understand if you don't give me the definitions? They're ad nauseum, and they change all over the place. The same word can be a term and mean one thing in this chapter or in this section and something else over here and something else over there. Well, wait the one dang minute here. Logic tells me that somebody's committing fraud here. especially when we come to the United States. It's territorial. Isn't that just special, usually? So the second thing is, it's all of these terms. We don't understand what they're talking about. I know I can't read these. You start looking at it just like a traffic citation. It blows up and it's just one thing into another thing into another thing into another thing. And you say, well, wait a minute. None of this has been disclosed. So how do I understand that I've been trapped? So that's one, get your status. One, we can't read, so we have to know what the terms are. Then we've got to be able, when we get these terms, to understand what these courts are about. I can prove what the state courts of Alaska, they're supposed to have civil commissions, just be appointed by the governor, signed. I even have a copy of them, clear back in 1966, the last one we ever found. State of Alaska, we don't do them anymore. Well, how in the heck do these people show up? They got a black robe on, but nobody's appointed them with a civil commission because we don't do them anymore. Then you go to find out they've changed the names of the court. The Alaska Bar changed the name in 1974 from 3rd District to 3rd Judicial District to make it administrative. They did away with the seal, which is the signature of the Constitutional Court, and put a new court, new seal in, with the assistance of the legislature. They even put in the rules of court that the legislature, when they're in session, if they go against anything that's against the rules of court, they have to have a two-thirds majority, just like a veto from the governor. Are these guys stupid down there or what? Well, that's in the rules of court, civil and criminal. You can't legislate against the rules of court. Does that might give you a clue that the bar is in charge, you think? And we got Vanessa White up here, supposed to be a Superior Court judge. She said, I'm an undersigned jurist. I sign legal documents and have a law degree. I have no oath as a public officer of of Alaska, and I have no civil commission. She said, go to hell and sign the order. Yep. You can't make this stuff up. So now the next thing is to understand, which I'm going to go over again because it's important. I just started this today. There are hundreds of cases in the ruling case law explaining this, and I've got to take down and set it so that I really understand it and can prove it and get modules put on so other people can see it and use it and have access, though, to the ruling case law if they want to use it. A general law is within the meaning of an article, applies to the whole state. A local law is a law which applies to the political subdivision or subdivisions of a state less than the whole. Okay, so we got two. So we got the general is over the whole thing. Local is over a certain part of a political subdivision of a state. And then we have a special or private law within the meaning is one that applies to an individual, association, or corporation. Really? An individual income tax. It's a special and private law. And who's an individual? Well, they tell us it means a citizen of the United States or an alien lawfully admitted. That's 5 U.S.C. 552A, A2. Which A, then A2, A in parentheses, and number 2. They go on to explain this even better. The terms, general law, the terms, it's in quotation, but general law, and quote, public law are frequently used synonymously, but they are not equivalent. Every general law is necessarily a public law, but every public law is defined as not a general law. A general law is a law which operates throughout the state, alike on all people or all of a class. Excuse me. Any law affecting the public within the limits of a county or community would be a public law and not a general law. Now, this is critical. Why do we call them public laws of the United States? Why don't we call them statutes of the United States like they started off in 1789? I've got to go look and see excuse me, what year they changed. My guess is somewhere around 1840 to 1860, but I don't know. I'll find out. And then we get really interesting. It is beyond question that when the Constitution defines general law to be one that applies to the whole state, and that local law is one that applies to any particular subdivision or subdivisions of a state less than the whole, yet has reference to statutes in their territorial application and not in their subject matter. Whoa, that's a killer. Because territorial, that's geography. That's what it says in the Senate report on the appellate courts, and that's the United States District Court. They're based on geography. The Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in Article 3 is based on subject matter. So we are adjudicating private laws in the United States District Court and the Court of Appeals 1 through 11 in the D.C. Circuit. Could they tell us this? No. And what's even crazier, these idiots that are these reprobates, judges that are making these decisions that are supposed to be limited to the geography, they're applying it to the whole of these United States. United States District Court and the appellate courts. Like the Ninth is one of them. There's got people out there are crazier than loons. And the only court that has national jurisdiction is the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. I've seen some of that briefing. They say that, but they still won't go up against it. If Sessions used the definitions like alien, that would flush out citizen of the United States or owing allegiance to these United States. They will not use the terms. Certain terms they will not use. They would cause a major constitutional crisis, a major one. They actually started using some of this, so they know that there are certain areas they can't go into, at least at this time. I presume they would like, I'd like to think they're going to do it at some future time, but we have been digging this hole for so many decades. This swamp is just unbelievably, where's the depths of it go? Just can't make it up. It's hard to fathom. And in this fictional private law, in the Constitution of the State of Alaska, we have no right to own land. It says so. And what got started me on, this is on the Anchorage Ordinance. You can go online and look this up. Just go to Anchorage and the Ordinance. And it's 9.08.060. 9.08.060, Anchorage ordinances. The provisions of this title, this is for all the policemen, shall apply to the drivers of all vehicles owned or operated by the United States, the state, or any borough, town, or district, or any political subdivision of a state, subject to certain exemptions. It's got to be owned or driven by the government. Owned or operated. That's what got me on this thing that got me probably, I think I was about 170 traffic citations all over registrations and various things when they started pounding on me. I didn't own the car. And it's so damn simple. I went over to Wasilla finally, Chevrolet. Said, I want to see all the documents when I get a new rig. I'd bought a lot of new cars. I never read all that stuff. I doubt very few people do. They wouldn't do it. I said, well, you know, I'm retired, and you can call retired what I do. I'll stand outside here with a sign that you guys are doing something illegal in this place here. We'll see how that affects your business. Well, they called the lawyer. They decided they'd give me a copy of all the stuff that they use. Right there in plain sight is the attorney in fact. Attorney in fact is like an implied in law. It's like an express contract. And it's notarized. And it says right in there, I'm giving away all right, title, and interest to somebody else to use. All right, title, and interest. It says so in real simple, concise Why would I do that? Why had I done it? I never read it. And I recorded the financial guy over there, and he knew that. I like never got him on the phone, but I finally tricked him into being there, and they knew. But they won't tell us. People come in there thinking they're going to be that vehicle is theirs. It's never theirs. It's the manufacturer origin of statement or origin of manufacturer. And they showed it to me. Wouldn't let me make a copy of it. I'd never seen one. I wrote down the stuff and eventually got some copies of it. They hand carry those to Palmer, about 15 miles away. And then they get around supposedly and destroy them. You can get copies of them in Anchorage. And they issue a certificate of title that says there may be other interests not shown. Well, ain't that just dang special? That's how they control us. We have the right to travel, but not if they own the car. We've given it away, just like a rental. Will people believe it? No. Go over to your dealer. Ask them for the attorney in fact contractor to see everything they do. And now John was checking on a motorcycle up there, and they do it a little different for motorcycles in Minnesota. They have you signing that you're under all these regulations, federal and state. I started to look that up, and my God, there's so many statutes and regulations there, it'd take me a week to figure it all out. All the terms and definitions and nonsense. There's no way anybody could understand it. There's laws against that. But nobody does it. 300 some million, 330 million people, and how many people understand they don't own their cars that are adults? Everybody thinks they do. So you just can't make this stuff up. So the game is, then, if you call it the game or the con, the states are legislating private law for individuals. And so are the feds. For a citizen of the United States, which is, quote, an individual. We're all individuals. Now, like in Minnesota, they said individual is a natural person in certain areas. But for taxation in Minnesota, if you go register to vote, you're automatically are a taxpayer. Says so. Well, isn't it just special? And if you're a taxpayer, then you're a citizen of the United States because they only allow citizens of the United States to vote. You just stepped into the pit. How do you get out? Got to get your status right, and then we got to get these terms and go after them, and then we got to head off into the Federal Court of Claims and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. But I'm going to get these modules made up on this general law, local law, and private law. Why would I want to be under private law in a fictional status? Most people that have not had a company don't understand the, like if you have a corporation or you have an LLC or a partnership or something, or if you have a trust, you're the trustee, or you're the beneficiary, or if you're a corporation, you're the president or secretary of state. You don't sign it just as your name. You have a position in the fiction. And what people that aren't in business, and I never understood it when I started S-Corp. I got sold a bill of goods by the lawyer, who's now a judge. Oh, they won't get around and they can't sue you and all that nonsense. That's a crock of baloney. S-Corps, you have to have a private guarantee or they won't even lend you any money. Whether there's any benefits or not, I don't know. But then I found out when I took on the state of Alaska, I had to have a lawyer, a mouthpiece that was a liar. Long story. I figured that out and I unincorporated. Got rid of all that nonsense. I was muzzled. I couldn't talk. And I didn't have the money to keep a lawyer to pay him to get to the table. And then when I got him there, he was selling me out. I ran a business from 1995 to 2001. No income tax on me or the company. no tax for Anchorage. They used to send me a thing every year under their Article 14 that they wanted a tax, and it was their stuff. And I said, you know, I need some more inventory, and if you will buy this inventory, I'll be gladly give you a tax on it. I never paid one penny to Anchorage. And the whole time I was there for, I think I started about 85. I started to 2001, 13, 16 years or something like that. Never paid one penny to those SOBs. I just put an affidavit with it, and they never heard from me again.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains suntein and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Do you have a question or a comment?
I have an example of private law you may find useful. It's called Private Law 96-62, and it was signed in 1980, and it was for Victor Belenko. That was the Foxbat pilot that defected to Japan in 1976. And I'd never seen an example, rather a reference to private law before. This is about a month ago I captured this screen.
Uh-huh.
It's still there. It's on Wikipedia and some other places. But basically what happened was Gerald Ford gave him asylum, established the trust fund form so he could be comfortable. I guess it's like a Social Security fund. And then in 1980, Congress enacted S-2961, authorizing citizenship form. It was then signed into law by Jimmy Carter, 14 October 1980, as Private Law 9662. The full reference is, I think it's 94 Stat 3599. There's a PDF on it.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps.
Well, isn't that just special?
I'm sorry?
I said, isn't that just special, huh?
Yeah, I was wondering why would you make a private, what is private, that's, I had read about this several weeks ago, and I was trying to, it didn't seem like there was much of a difference between the two, based on the references that I could find.
Well, the problem is that private law applies to a particular individual or group of individuals, usually it's individual, corporation, whatever. Then we got local law. Well, the problem is that when you start having, you can't have a republic if you only allow the people that are in the private law to vote. Because, first of all, it's the citizens of New York are the ones that are supposed to put into your constitutional government, and then that constitutional government that has offices and three separate branches, then they are empowered to do certain, very certain limited parts of local and or private law. But we got nothing out. The citizen of New York can't vote, can't get a driver's license, can't get a loan, can't sit on a jury, can't do anything. You starting to see the problem?
Yes. And I guess if that's the explanation, then it doesn't get any more special than him, because he not only dropped their top-of-the-line fighter, it was fully enabled, but he also had the operating manual to it on hand with him. And
Alaska.
Something you can probably...
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yep.
No, go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, that's okay. Something you can probably appreciate is that the Pentagon first laughed at the whole... idea when they saw the plane, because it had mostly vacuum tubes in it. But what they didn't know at the time was that it allowed them to have such a powerful radar that it's almost impossible to jam the, it was a MiG-25.
Huh.
So they...
Really?
Yeah. No, it's all right, Ed.
Well, I tell you, Alaska has a complete set of books, temporary and special acts, what the Constitution says they can't do. Our borough is private law. We don't have counties. We have no sheriffs. We don't got nothing up here, man. We got the tail end of the... We really got the short end of the stick. The boroughs are private law. And legislating for citizens of the United States. Isn't that just special? More private law.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
Well, there is not one public officer in all of Alaska. There's not one person that's ever been appointed with a civil commission. And I've got this all documented. I got the stuff. I finally gave up on the latest last couple of years, because after you go through it enough, I mean, how many times you got to say it, you know?
Mm.
It ain't.
No, I've heard it from you before.
Yeah, that they don't exist. And they admit it. And what's even more, they don't give a rat's rump.
So for some reason, depending on that he was not part of a general class, or there was something, obviously something special about him, because he gave him such a big present. Mm-hmm. That's why they used private law for him. There is a PDF on it. It's easily found on the just by doing a search. All right. Good night, Ralph. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's the other con. Because why does everything we do, why does it have that penalty to perjury, citizen of the United States crap buried in it? Because I don't want the inalienable rights from my creator. I don't want to be there. I want to be under... Boxer and Schumer and all those people. Well, those guys in Congress, because those are such honest people, and Ryan and all these other people up there. Ain't that just special? Wait, did I hear music coming? I'm not sure whether I did or didn't hear. Am I still on the air? Anyway. Okay. Well, anyways, and you can't make this stuff up. It's so unbelievable, you can't make it up. We don't own our cars, we don't own our land, we don't even know who in the hell we are. Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something, and stay tuned, because it's going to get better. And watch out for the federales, they're everywhere. And God willing, we will see you next Sunday.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.